God is calling our church to build ministry that seeks the lost, makes disciples, and meets needs.
What we talked about last week is that the Holy Spirit and the Word of God were never meant to be separated. That as we celebrate the Word of God in our life, we are making room for the Holy Spirit in our life. And as we celebrate the Holy Spirit in our life, we should be intentional about making sure that the Word of God is directing our life. We've had a lot of response to the message last week. If you didn't have a chance to hear it, I hope that you'll check it out. I believe it lays a foundation for where we're going. But if you haven't heard it or you're new to our church, it's okay, because this message could stand alone. Because today what we're going to do is we're going to answer the question, how to have more of the Holy Spirit. How to have more of the Holy Spirit. Anybody want more of God in your life? Amen. So here's the thing. We know that we have the Heavenly Father, we have the Son, and we have the Holy Spirit. The Heavenly Father represents God for us. The Son represents God with us. The Holy Spirit represents God in us. So what we're going to talk about today is how to have more of God in us. I'm going to read this verse and I'm going to pray. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, this is the anchor text for today. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And the church said, amen. Amen. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to experience the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I ask you, God, that you would do something in us today that coincidence would never be able to take the credit for. God, there are people that need more of you in their life, in their family, in their situation, in their issue. God, help me today to be able to teach and preach in such a way that it brings revelation in the most simple of ways, God, of how to experience more of you. Let it be done in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. As I was preparing for this message, it was actually my wife that reminded me of a story about Socrates. And Socrates was a great ancient philosopher, and there were many times people who would come to him desiring wisdom. There was one student in particular that began to almost harass him of, I want wisdom, I want wisdom. Teach me, Socrates, I want wisdom. And finally, Socrates said, you want wisdom? Yes, I want wisdom. Come with me. And so he takes this young man with him, and he leads him out through a pathway. Ultimately, they wind up at the river. And as they are at the river, Socrates takes this young man and begins to plunge him underneath the water. He holds him for an extended period of time, and he lifts him up, and he says, what do you want? And the man, the student, said, wisdom! Socrates stuck him back under the water again now for an even longer period of time. He pulled him up. He said, what do you want? And the student said, wisdom! Socrates took him, stuck him under the water again, held him even longer. This time, when the student came up, Socrates says, what do you want? He said, air. And Socrates said, when you want wisdom as bad as you wanted that next breath, you will have it. My wife's a good preacher. She should have came and told that story. Here's the point. When you want God as much or more than you want your next breath, you will have him. And one of the things I want to do as a communicator, as a pastor, a preacher, is I want to make people hungry for more of God, thirsty for more of God. Because the book of Matthew says that blessed are the hungry and the thirsty, for they shall be filled. And so if you get hungry for God, you will be filled. And so this morning, even if you didn't walk in here hungry for more of God, and I believe that most of you did, I pray that even if that was not your scenario, that before we are finished, you will be saying, man, I want more of the Holy Spirit of God in my life. And so when we start talking about how to have more of the Holy Spirit in our lives, you might be surprised by what I believe is the first answer to that. I think the number one way to have more of the Holy Spirit in your life is to know your Bible. We talked last week about the importance of marrying the Word and the Spirit in every conscious effort that we take towards an experience in God, that it can be very easy to just get focused on wanting more of the Holy Spirit or just wanting more of the Word, but God intended for us to be Word and Spirit Christians. He intends for us to be Word and Spirit churches, and I believe one of the real issues that we have today is that we have a generation that do not know their Bible. I didn't expect a lot of amens there. But it's the truth. People do not know their Bibles because they do not read their Bibles. And so what has happened, and I get the privilege to talk to a lot of different preachers and pastors, is that now as a preacher, you really can assume nothing. It's why you have to spend a lot of time laying backgrounds for things that you're trying to share through the Word, is because people just don't even know the elementary aspects of Scripture. It's one of the reasons that we as a church have totally changed the way that we're approaching kids' church. We have begun to realize that as kids are coming into their teenage years, that they can tell you a few principles about Scripture, but they can't tell you about any of the Bible characters. They don't know who Noah is other than he had a boat, even if they know that. They can't tell you the difference between Elijah and Elisha. They don't know Ezekiel from Jeremiah. They don't understand who the disciples were and the roles that they played. And I think even getting to know the characters in Scripture is essential to being able to understand the whole counsel of God. And so what we have to realize is that even when we begin to read Scripture and get to know those characters, there's something that happens. If you do not read the Bible, you separate yourself from the inner testimony that is provided by the Holy Spirit that the Bible is the Word of God. I want you to think about that for a minute, that when you begin to pick up your Bible and you begin to read it, the Holy Spirit desires to go to work in your life in such a way that it stirs an inner testimony that what you are reading is the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But Scripture says the Word of God shall be proclaimed, and the Holy Spirit shall confirm that Word with signs following. And so if you are not reading the Word, you are actually hindering your faith because you're separating yourself from the Holy Spirit's ability to give you a greater testimony of what you actually believe. I believe that we should be so sure of what we believe that we would go to the stake for it. And I'm not talking about the steakhouse. I'm talking about believing it to the point that you would risk your very life for the truth and the promises of this Word. Because here's the deal. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. But look at that first line. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That the Greek there literally means it is God-breathed. It's one of the reasons we started with the story that we started with, that when you, the young man, the student, when you want wisdom as much as you want your next breath, you will have it. Can I say to you that when you want God as much as you want your next breath, you will have it. And one of the best ways to find it is by reading the Word. And here's what a lot of people do not realize, is that when you do not read the Bible, you separate yourself from the Holy Spirit's ability to bring it to your remembrance. The Bible literally says to us that the Holy Spirit will bring all things to remembrance, especially about the things that Jesus taught. But God has no obligation to help you remember what you've not first remembered. If you're not willing to put it in you, how can He bring it through you? But when you become intentional about putting the Word of God in you, you will be amazed at how the Holy Spirit will perpetually bring to remembrance the things that you need in a specific moment. He'll pull up a proverb. He'll pull up a promise. He'll pull up an encouragement to your faith in the moment that you need it. So I would say to anybody and everybody, if you want more of the Holy Spirit, you need to get a Bible reading plan. Like we practice this in our house. In fact, I'm kind of the enforcer of it. It's not always easy. I mean, my kids are just not waking up all spiritual, okay? Like, oh, yes, I get to start the day reading the Bible. instead of playing on the PlayStation or going to get my shots up or getting on social media. But it's just something I've just decided to be very intentional about in our house. I've shared this with you guys before, but we use the YouVersion app. We have our family in a particular 365-day Bible reading plan. It gets our whole family all the way through the Bible. At the end of the day, every single member of our family, or at the morning, whenever they read, is to post something that spoke to them out of that day's reading. We recently learned that my son loves Proverbs. And so he just was constantly, Proverbs is a great book. As a matter of fact, we're probably going to have a series about it later in the year. And he would just go pull out these killer verses and just post them in here and just drop bombs out of the daily reading of Proverbs, because we would read something from the Old Testament, we'd read something from the New Testament, we'd read something from Proverbs, and we'd read something from Psalms every single day. And recently I just said, Dawson, I just noticed you really love the book of Proverbs. And he's like, yeah. And I started quizzing him a little bit about what we were reading in the Old Testament, about what we were reading in the New Testament, about what we were reading in Psalms. He didn't know anything about it. He was skipping all of it. He was just going straight to the Proverbs because he knew he could drop a bomb. I'm like, boy, help me, Jesus. So we're not perfect with our Bible reading plan, but we got one. Here's something that a wise man of God recently helped me with. His name's actually R.T. Kendall, and a lot of things that I share on this subject have been greatly influenced by a lot of his study and a lot of his work. But one of the things that he says is that when you're reading the Word of God, there are a few things you really need to focus on. And I know this is a little bit small, and maybe you can't see it. Maybe it's something you want to snap a picture of, especially with that pretty guy in there beside it. But here's the thing. It says, focus on learning. Look at this. Learn the place of the law in God's scheme of redemption. Know the Psalms and the prophets. Understand the teachings of Jesus. Be acquainted with the miracles and how the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost. So what I'm saying, what I'm trying to point out to you is, like, a lot of people read the Bible and they're kind of like, I don't know what I really should be studying. I don't know what I really should be looking for. Well, the Bible is clear that God wants you to learn the whole counsel of God. And what some of these things help you to understand is, when you're hearing a message proclaimed, when you're hearing a deep Bible study given, if you have just kind of even an overall grasp of these things, it will help you tremendously to really be able to form your doctrine and know what you believe in Scripture. And so the next part of that would be, see and grasp the history of the early church in the book of Acts. Fall in love with the writings of Paul and the apostles. And know this, you are reading God's own word. Can I get an amen from somebody? You are reading God's own word. And so if you will just take that handful of things as you're reading Scripture, you'll be amazed how the Holy Spirit will reveal things to you that maybe you never even knew you needed to know about the Word of God. I want you to stick with me, because there are many of you that you've been saying, I want more of God. I need more of God. I've got to have more of the Holy Spirit in my life. And so the first thing you got to do is you got to know your Bible. But the second thing you got to do is you got to ask for it. So if you want more of the Holy Spirit, you're going to need to throw your hands in the air, and you're going to need to ask the Lord for more of the Holy Spirit. You need to say, God, I want more of you today than I had yesterday. In fact, that probably should be a daily thing for you, of where you just say, God, I want more of the Holy Spirit today than I had yesterday. Where you literally say, God, I need an infilling of the Holy Spirit. I don't want my cup to be half full. I don't want my cup to be filled to the brim. I want my cup to run over. So if you want more of the Holy Spirit, ask for it. Here's what Scripture tells us, is that you do not have because you do not ask. Scripture goes as far as to say that our God loves us so much that if you asked him for bread, would he give you a rock? If you asked him for fish, would he give you a snake? No, because he gives good gifts. He loves you. He wants to have a relationship. You want more of the Holy Spirit? Ask for it. The third thing I would say is this. If you want more of the Holy Spirit, seek God and wait. It ties together a little bit with even what we said in the previous point, that Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says this, ask and you shall receive, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. There's a little bit of a process there, that you have to ask in order to receive, but sometimes You're going to need to put a little more pursuit with it. So you got to seek it out. And so it means you may need to spend an extended period of time in prayer. It means that while you're in prayer, there's a fervency that might come to it, where it's literally like you're knocking towards the door of heaven of God, I want more of the Holy Spirit. And so as you're thinking about seeking and you're thinking about waiting, something I would encourage you to do is, if you're looking for a place to start, consider spending at least 30 minutes alone with God every day. You know, Jesus looked at the disciples in a very difficult time and he rebuked them. He said, could you not tarry 1 hour? And I get it. Very few of us are going to start at 1 hour. And maybe even 30 minutes is intimidating to you, but I would say most of us could go to bed 30 minutes later. I would say we could get up 30 minutes earlier. I would say that we probably could maybe carve out another 30 minutes somewhere in our lunchtime. One of those three things can help you to be able to say, I want more of the Holy Spirit in my life, and if I'm going to experience that, I'm going to have to seek His presence. So create a space for it. And what starts to happen is as you spend that extra time with God, you get to know God's ways. And it's wonderful to know God's ways. And you're like, well, how does that help me to get to know God's ways? It just does. My wife and I, we've been hanging out together for 23 years. We've been maybe 24 years. We've been married 21 years. Mandy, help me. It'll be 21 years in December, all right? Wonderful 21 years. 21 years, okay? She knows my ways. Like, she has got me figured out to the point that sometimes even with a look or even before I can say something, she's already got things in motion. And I feel like I have much the same towards her of where I kind of just, we've hung out together. We've spent time together. We've carved out time to be together. And the result of that is that we know each other's ways. And when you spend time with the Holy Spirit, you're going to get to know His ways. We're going to talk even more about this next week, and I think it's really going to help some people. But I want you to see what Scripture says, because God lamented about Israel. He says, I was angry with that generation, and I said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Just look at somebody and tell them, God's got ways. God's got ways. He's got ways of doing things and ways of not doing things. And he says right here, he got upset with an entire generation because they did not know His ways. So you need to seek God and spend time waiting. The thing about it is, when you think about intimacy with God, it comes by making an effort and spending as much time with Him as you can. And in case anybody has forgotten, He is a jealous God. Now imagine if you were always engaged in your hobby and never spending time with your spouse. Would that cause a problem? Yeah. Imagine if constantly you were always giving someone else attention and never giving the people that you care about the most any attention. Would that cause a problem? Yeah, jealousy's gonna come in. And God says, I'm not even gonna play with you. I want you to understand that I am a jealous God. And so when we throw something out there like, hey, can we give God 30 minutes a day? And we're like, no, but yet we can like Netflix and just binge. And we can scroll through our phones and you can look at your screen time. You might be amazed how much time you're spending just scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. And I'm not trying to condemn any of that. I'm just saying God's jealous. Have you ever thought about the fact that sometimes while you're sitting here and you're just trying to see like how bad you are compared to all your friends right now and how much better their life is than yours? And my wife and I, we drove by someone last night and they were out in the yard. They had lit a fire pit. They set up a screen and they're watching an outdoor movie and they're both looking at their phones. I'm just going to leave that right there. You want to know how to have more of the Holy Spirit? Live a holy life. We're also going to talk more about this next week. Don't let that scare you off. Don't let it talk you out of coming back, because I want to break it down for you in a way that I think is really going to help. In fact, I'm even going to do some things on Wednesday night in our online Bible study. It's going to talk a little bit about what this means, that holiness is not meant to be an intimidating word, but you need to understand that the Holy Spirit can be grieved, the Holy Spirit can be quenched, and the Holy Spirit can be vexed. Those are all words that the Bible uses to talk about things that disrupt the Holy Spirit, that interrupt the Holy Spirit being at work in our life. And so you need to, if you want more of the Holy Spirit, you need to focus on living a holy life. And you need to understand this. The reason we have the epistles is because seeking after holiness, which really means, that's the big word for it, all right? Everybody say sanctification. Sanctification. Seeking after holiness. Sanctification must be taught. It must be taught. Sanctification does not come natural to any of us. Inside of us, we have a sin nature. We have a desire for the things of this world. We wrestle with the lust of the flesh. We wrestle with the lust of the eye. We wrestle with the pride of life. And so we have to be taught the concept of holiness. And when you're reading the Bible, talking about the Word and the Spirit being married, the reason that you have the epistles of Paul and the other apostles is so that you can learn, I can learn how to live a holy life. And so again, just to understand this word sanctification, it is the process by which we become more and more holy. And again, it must be taught. Look at this, 1 Thessalonians, Hebrews chapter 12, 1 Peter 1, and Leviticus chapter 11. All are just three examples of God teaching us about holiness. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Strive for holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Anybody want more of the Holy Spirit? You're going to need to strive for holiness. God even goes as far as to say, you shall be holy as I am holy. You want more of the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to start treating your body like a temple instead of an amusement park. Okay. You want more of the Holy Spirit? Number five, value the Holy Spirit's gifts and fruit equally. Value the fruit and the gifts equally. When the high priest, let's do a little bit of theology for a second. Okay, this is why you need to know stuff about the law of Moses and things about Scripture. It'll cause the revelation of Scripture just to blow your mind sometimes. But when the high priest in the Old Testament would go into the Ark of the Covenant, he had to pass through a veil, okay? He would go through this veil. Once on the inside, there was this beautiful ornamental Ark of the Covenant that was there, and it represented the place. That was not God, but it represented the place that housed the presence of God on earth. When the high priest would go in, he had to be completely clean. He had to be completely holy, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. It was so serious that they lassoed a rope to his ankle. And if God found anything in him that was unclean, he would fall dead. And the presence of God was so holy, nobody could even go in to get him. They had to drag him out. But you know how that they knew he had died? They stopped hearing bells. So he would wear bells on the bottom of his robe, but there's something significant. Between each bell was a fruit. And Paul in 1 Corinthians draws an analogy that when it comes to that high priest garment, that bell symbolizes the gifts, and that fruit symbolizes the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so the fruit of the Holy Spirit is detailed in the book of Galatians. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are detailed many places, but in one specific place, 1 Corinthians. And when you start realizing, it's really easy to be, oh, I want love, and I want gentleness, and I want long-suffering, and I want patience, and I want peace, and I want joy. Those are the fruit. But then it's also easy to say, well, I want the discerning of spirits. I want the word of knowledge. I want the gift of prophecy. Oh, and you can get focused over here. And what God intended with the Holy Spirit is that it would be a balanced approach, that you would have gift and you would have fruit, and it would be something that you would walk out. And so you would not be so gifted that you would not be fruitful, but that in your fruitfulness you would still be gifted. So value both equally. And so if you really want to experience more of the Holy Spirit, don't just get caught up on one side or the other. Seek everything that God has for you. Everything that he has for you. Anybody want to know how to have more of the Holy Spirit? I'm going to give you two more. The first of those last two are this. Seek honor from God, not from people. It is so easy just to get caught up in wanting the people to affirm you and people to honor you and people to give you a plaque and people to have a celebration dinner for you. And just and all that's got its time and got its place. But if you really want more of the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to realize you have to first and foremost seek honor from God. So can I be real straight with you for a second? I think one of the biggest mistakes of the modern church is that we became seeker-sensitive and spirit friendly. So our greatest sensitivity in many modern churches was we have to make anybody seeking an experience with God super comfortable, and we're overly sensitive to that. But yet we're friendly to God if he wants to show up and do something, but we're overly sensitive over here, so that might limit what the Spirit can do. It's backwards. It's absolutely backwards. We refuse to be that kind of church. If that's what you're looking for, you're in the wrong building today. I don't mean that. We're glad you're here. Very glad you're here. But our number one sensitivity is to the Holy Spirit. And there's going to be times when being sensitive to the Holy Spirit breaks a service order, tears all the production stuff up because it's not what we thought it's what God wanted, but it's not what God wanted. We're going a totally different direction because being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We don't ever want to grieve him. We don't ever want to quench him. And sometimes he'll throw you a curveball just to see if you're still listening. Sensitive to the Holy Spirit and friendly to the seeker. So we want to be friendly to our community. We want to be friendly to our seeker. If you're new to church, if you're thinking about this whole God thing, man, we want this place to be beyond friendly. We want you to enter in love, and we want you to exit in love. But if we just come in here and we're sensitive to everything that just makes you totally comfortable, you will never experience life change because the gospel itself is uncomfortable. And so heaven's worth it. Come on, somebody. Heaven's worth it. Let me just give you a verse to back up everything that I'm saying. John 5:44, how can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek honor that comes only from God? So our number one sensitivity must be to the Holy Spirit. It's pretty significant because that verse actually reveals that the Jews missed their Messiah, which was Jesus, because they were addicted to the approval of their fellow Jews. They missed him because they were so addicted to the approval of the group they hung out in their religious circles. And here's the deal. Any of us could miss what God is doing today because we are more addicted to the applause of man than to the approval of heaven. Don't miss it. Just look at somebody and tell them, don't miss it. Don't miss it. I'm going to give you my last thing today. Last thing. You want more of the Holy Spirit. Witness to people. Well, it's a lost art, isn't it? Like, when's the last time you really tried to win somebody to Jesus? Our approach to witnessing is all about get people to an altar, get people to come forward. But the model of the Church of Acts, there were more people saved outside of the public gatherings than there were in the public gatherings. People were in the highways. People were in the hedges. People lived a lifestyle of witnessing. And if this is something that you're uncomfortable with, you need to begin doing it, especially as you begin to know the Word, and watch the Holy Spirit come in your life in a brand new way. He'll bring things to your remembrance, and he'll make you bold as a lion as you speak truth in love. It is, I believe, in my understanding of Scripture, the number one reason that the Father sent the Holy Spirit to the earth was so that people could be a more effective witness for Jesus. We end where we started, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Why did the Holy Spirit come? To give you a power to be a witness. So it's great that you got the gift of the discerning of spirits. But the number one reason that that gift was given to you is so you could be a more effective witness. And it's great that you've got a lot of peace in your life and you're very long suffering. But the number one reason that fruit came to your life was so you could be a better witness. And it's great that you know the Bible backwards and forwards, inside and out, but the number one reason God has allowed you that knowledge is so that you can be a better witness. And I think in such an hour as this, there has to be a brand new level of intentionality come to the church to be witnesses for Jesus Christ unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Let me show you how this works. That's fine. You can give him praise. I think it's a great place to give him praise, even if you're at home, because it's the truth. I got two people helping me out. Somebody give him praise if you believe it, and I'll finish teaching this. Come on. They're going to come play music. I'm going to get out of your way. But I want you to look at this. Witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. In many ways, this symbolizes their town, their region, their state, the next part of the earth. It's progressive. And you could even theologically break that down different ways, but I want you to understand it's progressive. This is where they're living at. This is the region they're in. This is the bordering foreigner neighbors. This is as far as you possibly can go. It's got to start somewhere. Three Trees Church exists for one reason. Somebody help me. Because everyone needs Jesus. Somebody throw that in a comment section if you're in church online. Everyone needs Jesus. But our vision to win the world can never overlook the person that is standing right in front of us. It can't. And if it does, we're failing somewhere. So when we begin to want the Holy Spirit as much or more than we want our next breath, we will experience Him. And I can't wait to talk to you more about it next week. Some things that are absolutely burning on my heart. But right here, right now, in this moment, every head bowed, every eye closed, even there at home, and just take a moment, lift your hands before the Lord and say, God, I want more of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to live a powerless life. I don't want to live a weak life. I don't want to live an anemic life spiritually. God, I want to be emotionally put together. I want God to be able to speak with a wisdom that is out of this world because it is deposited from heaven into earth. And so, Father God, I pray that today, as we are hands lifted before you, that the Holy Spirit of God would break out in our life as we begin to tear our flesh. In those moments, God, when we know we should be giving your word more attention, but we're just ignoring you speaking to us about that hunger that you want to create. That those moments, God, when there's absolutely no doubt you're wanting us to carve out time to just be intimately engaged with you in a relationship, and for whatever reason, we just keep cutting you off. Lord, help us today to experience more of the Holy Spirit. Specifically, God, as we receive a baptism of fire. That's what Jesus himself said it would be when it came. That the Holy Spirit would be a baptism of fire. And God, I believe the number one indicator is that we would be bolder in our witness for Jesus. And God, we're so timid so often, too often, God. We're so laid back with our witness. And God, we know you don't want us to be just overly zealous with no wisdom. You want us to be wise, but God, you also want us to be bold. And I pray, God, that we would become incredibly gifted in word and by the work of the Holy Spirit to share our witness. That God, Three Trees Church would be filled to overflowing, not only with new converts, but mature disciples who are winning those converts. God, rescuing them from hell, giving them the promise of heaven. And Lord, there's somebody perhaps under the sound of my voice today that the number one work of the Holy Spirit that they need is to surrender their life. That it's a moment of repentance. That, Lord, they've never really been born again. And right now, seeing Jesus on the cross, Him shedding His blood for their sins, there's a conviction of the Holy Spirit that draws them unto a work of redemption. God, I pray that wherever they're at, they would have the courage to begin to ask you to forgive them of their sins and to be the Lord of their life, to believe, God, that you are willing to do that. As they confess, God, their sins, even their deepest and darkest sins, even the stuff nobody knows anything about, and then, God, that they will have the courage to go out and declare it to anybody and everybody as, God, they ultimately go public with their faith through baptism. Lord, let it happen right here, right now. Somebody, somewhere, God, save them through the work of the Holy Spirit. Save them. Somebody needs to rededicate their life today, God. They've just drifted. They've gotten far from you, and This just needs to be a renewal moment for them, a revival moment for them, a rejuvenating moment for them. God, somebody else, they've just been content to go through the motions of consumer Christianity, just to kind of take what parts of it they benefit from and say, well, yeah, this kind of helps me and that kind of helps me, so I'll kind of, you know, put myself in a place to experience this and put myself into a place to experience that. But God, today you want to shake them to their core with the baptism of your Holy Spirit. God, an infilling of your Holy Spirit that overflows like a river, flows out of their life like a river. Spirit, break out today. Break out. Break out.